503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Everywhere we go.
That sounds like us.
We sing about beauty and we sing about truth at $10,000 a show.
Right.
We take all kind of pills to give us all kind of thrills, but the thrill we've never known is the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Rolling
Stone. Wanna see my when did what the media reported was the gospel truth? To, well, it must be true if it's in print, too. Not containing the facts in the name of cheap sensationalism just to sell newspapers or magazines. When did that become the norm? What has happened to the media when they care more about getting the story out and not caring about the innocent? About a nobody in Hollywood changing their sex? And what our brave men and women serving in the country in the military, as police officers, firefighters, first responders, to emergencies in our country and around the world happen. As Jack Webb said, just the facts, ma'am. Remember the saying, the truth will set you free? When did telling the truth become abnormal? My generation might be the last to have a Walter Cronkite to believe in. Now, who does this generation have to believe in? Well, if you pay attention to the news that is coming out today, people seem to care more about the Kardashians than our nation and what is happening in the world around us. And what will happen to the innocent people who are putting their lives on the line every day to keep us safe? Sometimes it takes time for the facts to come out. Yes, people make mistakes, and the consequences for those mistakes sometimes do result in the loss of lives. If, under the color of law, this happens, they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. As we have seen time and time again, these brave men and women have acted justly and within the scope of their duties. It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week. Going to get some ribs on later on today. And joining me, as always, my good friend to my right. And, man, Elvis is in Hawaii. He's in the building. My good friend, Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, how you doing today, pal?
Well, we're doing great, as always. You know, it's Friday. Just kind of jamming to this little tune here. It's definitely got a little undertone, little subliminal message going out right now. And so it is Friday, and you're right, man. We're going into Labor Day weekend. And, yes, I am flying some colors here representing the end of summer.
I don't like that at all, man.
Oh, boy, I tell you what, a little chilly up here in northeastern California where we are broadcasting out of. And as you can tell, I got a little frog in my throat. But we are going to get through it as always. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And now on our podcast, where America's voice is heard, Tim.
Andrew, it is. It's a great weekend. It's hard to believe we just had Memorial weekend. Labor Day weekend is here. Last time for families and friends to get together and enjoy things that are going on with their families and friends. Fuel prices down a little bit so people are able to travel a little bit more and to go out and to do things. And of course, for a couple of years, you and I and some friends, we go over there and we have a good time at the Best of the West Rib Cook-Off. Really looking forward to that as well. And politics a little bit slow. It's kind of nice to see what's going on nationally. Some things are kind of changing up a little bit there in the polls. And that's an exciting time of the year, Andrew.
Well, fuel's coming down just as long as Governor Jerry Brown out here in California doesn't get his way with his proposal to raise that $8 billion we're talking about that all of a sudden has just appeared out of nowhere with this supposed balanced budget. And yeah, you know what, folks, I've been hammering on this. hammering on this and hammering on this. But before we get to that, you know, a little subliminal message sent with that song. And I have to tell you, yeah, I'm going to address this Rolling Stone thing to a particular group of our audience out there. They're very aware of an article that just came out in Rolling Stones. But fortunately, folks, and our select group of U6 out there, you know, look, no one's reading this article at all. There is not a mention of this Rolling Stone article whatsoever in the statewide media over the last couple of days, which tells us, you know, really it doesn't have any credibility. And, you know, I'm going to attack the writer just a little bit on this particular article that is designed to basically defame our profession. I got to tell you, Tim, I get really upset. I get upset when individuals within our profession who all of a sudden decide that they can't hack it in our profession decide to go after our profession in the media because of things that they believe happened. And, you know, I mean, the facts obviously are going to come out in particular with this story if they haven't already. But I do believe most of us understand what happened. And that story right now is not exactly as it was portrayed in this article in Rolling Stone magazine by this independent writer. Not a staff writer for Rolling Stone, but an independent writer who happens to teach writing, ready, at San Quentin State Prison.
I did not know that. I thought they were on the staff, and I did not know that. But I can understand now the points of view that came out, Andrew, on that. And boy, did they paint our community in an awful light. That's almost as bad as well. Never mind us in the profession, but our community that we live in and work so hard for and that we love so much. Painting that as a dog and pony show, a second-rate town, I don't like that either as well, my friend.
Well, look, I mean, sometimes things happen, and yeah, I mean, there are bad situations that happens amongst us in our profession, and then, of course, things get handled and dealt with in accordance. But unfortunately, it gives us a bad portrayal. And you know, I get frustrated and angry when individuals who come into this profession, and you know, man, we've been doing this, you know,
a long time,
two decades plus, most people who are in this profession. Look, folks, I love my profession. I'm proud of my service to the people of California. But individuals who come into our profession, they're lured by the sense of easy money and benefits and so forth. But it's a tough job that we've got to do. And we forget this. And individuals who don't want to come into this profession sometimes come into this profession. Maybe they feel like that they are forced to come into our profession. And as a result, goodness, man, I mean, the stress on top of everything that happens. I mean, look, we understand that suicide is up, but I'm going to challenge and I'm going to just say that the suicide rate within our profession up here in Northeastern California that this article is referring to is not as directly related to our profession as we're trying to advocate it is. And so there are other issues that have surround some of the suicide rates that we are experiencing. And a lot of it is not because all of a sudden you're a correctional officer for the California Department of Corrections. I mean, good God, people, if it's getting that bad for you, just quit. Go find a new profession. I mean, there are plenty of professions out there, but don't blame the California Department of Corrections and do not blame a correctional peace officer profession because of your inability to cope with the stresses of this career.
And that is the part that really did not come out at all, and that's what I talked about in the open about the truth and the facts when they do come out. And as you, I get tired because I've been in the media a little bit longer than I have in our profession in the Department of Corrections for about 25 years, and I'm sick and tired of media, national, whoever it is, reporting on things just for ratings, just to make things better. I'm sick and tired of that. I'd like to hear good stories. I know those don't sell, and I know they don't get the ratings and get you the commercial and the money that you want, but we have to have that. Why is it they only have to have those stories at the end of the night to make it good? They just talk about all the bad before that. We have enough going on. Everybody knows what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri, and in Baltimore, and Lord God, in Texas a week ago to that officer just pumping gas. When is that going to end? And it just happened, Andrew, in Sacramento at City College down there yesterday.
Well, I'm going to say what most people are saying and most people want to say, and I'm proud, like I said, man, I'm proud to be up here in Northeastern California, and I really, really enjoy my profession. I love where I work, unlike the individual as the subject of this article. They tried to portray him that way, but we all know, anybody who knows this individual knows that this individual did not love coming to work at our institution. But I have to tell you, our institution has been subjected to so many reviews, so much scrutiny, so many, there's so many acronyms of investigative units that come into our institution. And guess what? They have found nothing. And the reason they have found nothing is because most of the allegations are unwarranted. I mean, look, we work at a very violent profession. We work at a very violent institution. And so, you know, we do things at the maximum within the law. We follow the law. We follow procedures. And so whenever procedures or law are not followed, then guess what? We are held accountable for that. And so much of this is being so misconstrued in the media about our institution, about our profession. And it's just time for some of us to start speaking up on behalf of all the BU6 men and women out there who go to work every day, working that toughest beat in the state.
And they have, and for nearly 20 years that I have known you and been with them, it's the best job that I have ever had. And a lot of folks don't say that, but I enjoy it every single day going out there. I have a great job, but that's just the way I am. I love what I do, and we have for years been with the worst of the worst. But those men, those women, free staff, the men that walk the line as well, the greatest people I've ever had the pleasure to work with, Andrew, is you and my brothers and sisters out there.
Well, like I said, it's tough work. We know it's tough work. It's not like any other institution. Yeah, you know, we're not exactly a lower-level institution. We are a max joint, as we say. And so, you know, the max joint life is going to be a little rougher and tougher. And I got to tell you, man, I'm just going to advocate this. The point is this. It's time for us to start speaking up on behalf of everybody who goes to work at some of these max joints. And I have to tell you, man, yeah, it's tough. And if you don't think that you can make it within this profession, then seek other employment, folks, because it's not easy.
It is not, and it's not for everybody. We, however, love our job.
Okay, folks, California, time for something you may not know. Today's date is September 4th. The year is 1778. Ray, the city of Amsterdam signs a trade agreement with the American rebels.
Wow.
It's kind of funny. I wonder if that had to do with any... No, it didn't. 1813, Ray, the first religious newspaper. It's the Religious Remembrance. The Christian Observer is actually published. That's kind of cool. 1882, first large-scale test of Thomas Edison's light bulb. Ready? They lit up the New York's Pearl Street Station. And, of course, 1886, Apache Chief Geronimo surrenders, ending the last major U.S.-Indian War.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday right after the news here on 1240 KSUE. And you can catch us about a half hour after the show at sierradailynews.com for the downloaded broadcast as well. And the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Labor Day weekend. Rib cook-off time coming up. It's going to be a great weekend.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. It is Friday, our favorite day of the week, right before Labor Day. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
It is the end of summer. And I tell you what, it's feeling like it a little bit here today up here in Northeastern California. I got to tell you, had a great time over last weekend, man. Went down to the High Desert Brawl, and I saw Rubes and Onslaught. And I got to tell you, man, those guys made that event.
That's what you're saying, man.
I tell you what, man, I felt like I was at an ultimate fight, you know, when it came down to how those guys produced it. I got to tell you. So, folks, keep in mind, DJ Rubes and Onslaught, you need them for any type of event that you've got coming up. Make sure you give those guys a call because they will really rock your house. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, where America's voice is heard, Tim.
It is hard to believe, Andrew, that the summertime is just about over. And like you said, man, you could really feel it up here. And you got some shorts on in here. And we're going out later on the night over there to have some ribs. And I'm thinking you might need to get a little bit to change of clothes. However, you can keep on the floral print right there. I do like that. I see nothing wrong with that. You know, there's a 26th or 27th annual rib cook-off going on. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun over there. One of the great things up here in Northern California and Nevada, right next door to us.
Well, I love bright, loud Hawaiian shirts. And I have to tell you, anytime I have an opportunity to wear those, I do. And you know what? I have a feeling we're coming to the end of the season where I'm going to be able to wear these so easily and so conveniently. But, you know, it's what it is. And I have to tell you, you know, we were attacking at the beginning part of the show, folks, is this Rolling Stone article that came out that really, really portrayed some of us in very bad light. And so, of course, we're defending against that. Now, fortunately, it doesn't seem like anybody is reading that article. Doesn't seem like any major media across the nation. So I guess it just shows, number one, I think the Boston bomber really bombed Rolling Stone when it came to its credibility. And, you know, real quick, I'm just kind of surprised some of the individuals that actually talked to such a left-leaning writer that we exposed earlier, having been an independent writer, not exactly a staff writer, but also someone who, you know, teaches writing at San Quentin State Prison to inmates. So, you know, it's one of those things where, unfortunately, you know, some people get their vendettas. And I have to tell you, man, I just don't appreciate it whenever somebody gets a vendetta and they want to take the entire profession down because of the acts of a couple individuals.
Well, remember, they just had a couple of years ago, they had that magazine on Virginia Tech on the university there on that story about rape. Mm-hmm. And that turned out to be absolutely false, but you know, never mind ruining the lives of the gentleman involved in that. So, you know, they lost a lot of credibility with that as well, Andrew.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move to California politics. It looks like the transportation, you know, the transportation infrastructure issue is something we've been talking about for just, I don't know, weeks. And, you know, we came up with the magic number, $8 billion. And, you know, everybody's, Andrew, how are you coming up with that $8 billion when the budget is passed and we've got this surplus? And, you know, once again, if you read the documents and you can do basic math, you realize that the math just does not add up. And as we stated, and once again, as we predicted on our show and podcast, looks like they're looking to raise, using what's called a road and user fee, they want to raise $3.6 billion annually out of the budget, along with a $1 billion from ready 11-cent excise tax on diesel and an increase on gasoline that is going to be indexed to inflation. I don't know how they're going to do that.
I don't know what that means. That's like the black hole, the money pit. They can do almost anything they want
indexed
with that.
To inflation.
Well, okay, let's just look at this.
It's going to be hidden.
It is. And break this down here to 11 cents on diesel. Where do most of our goods, consumer goods and products come from? From those big trucks that transport those throughout the state, throughout the country. So, boom, right off the bat, 11 cents a gallon. Those things use hundreds and hundreds of gallons. They have to pass that along onto the company that they're delivering to. Who's going to do what? Pass it along to the consumer. So you're going to get hit twice. You got 11 cents excise tax on the diesel. Then you go to the store, and last week you paid a dollar. This week you're paying $1.10. What's going on here?
Well, you know what? It's bait and switch. I mean, it's wag the dog. I mean, most people down in Sacramento, most people in San Francisco, Los Angeles, not too many individuals drive the diesel vehicles like we do in the rural areas. But let's also keep in mind the 11-cent impact on diesel for agriculture, for the farmers.
Absolutely.
And the ranchers who use diesel fuel to pump water for the crops and for the goods. So, I mean, it's staggering that we just say, oh, it's just 11 cents on diesel. We don't care about diesel in these large majority areas. And on top of that, they want to raise $2 billion. Ready? $65 per vehicle highway user fee. $65 increase on your registration per vehicle. Now, I don't know about most folks, but I own multiple vehicles, and most of us do.
I got three.
Yeah. So they want to hit you just almost like that. I mean, good Lord. And then, of course, they want to use $500 million from the cap and trade funds, which, once again, folks, remind me if I'm incorrect. I don't believe the cap and trade funds were actually advocated or designated for the purpose of infrastructure and used in that manner.
It wasn't. It was, you know, to bring down the usage on there and to hit those companies that were going over. But, Andrew, the $65 per vehicle fee, they have been talking about different things with a vehicle user fee, DMV hikes for quite some time. They did increase those, I don't think, under Schwarzenegger to help with the budget not that long ago. So $65 a vehicle. I told you I had three. That's about $200 a year that I would have to pay. And that's only going to be on the ones that are, I'm assuming, Andrew, the registered vehicles. When you go into DMV and you pay your yearly fee that you have to register your vehicle, bam, you're going to hit with that 65, and then a couple months later, bam, you're going to get hit with another one again. It's crazy.
Well, once again, let's think about this vehicle registration fee. We recalled California Governor Democrat Gray Davis as a result of actually saying that he wasn't going to raise the fee, and he did. And one of the first acts that Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger did was he rescinded it. So, I mean, when it comes down to this, I mean, how much of this are we going to take, California? I mean, Governor Jerry Brown is just, you know, he's overfunded, as we say, all the time. And I get the hits that I'm anti-education, which I'm not. But he overfunded education to such a degree that we're $8 billion short that he's going to hit you, the individual. I mean, Proposition 30 was designed, you know, obviously for the designated one percenters, those nasty individuals who make $250,000 a year and higher. But this is how they hit you, middle America, middle California, the individuals out there. I mean, how do you index a tax based on inflation on gasoline? I mean, that is just such wag the dog. That is such a scam right there to try to bamboozle you, California, into not thinking, oh, wait a minute, it's just diesel. It's just diesel is going to see that 11-cent increase in gasoline tax.
And, of course, diesel for many years, you know, a byproduct of petroleum anyway, and it was so cheap, and now they got it up there, right up there with the gasoline. So, like you said, Andrew, okay, now that it hits the farmers, and, of course, that really hits home up here in northeastern California, where we have a lot of that out there, and they produce hay for the cows. So it's hitting all them. It's taking the trucks that are taking your beef to Safeway and Albertsons and wherever your stores are, and then those things have to increase as well. So you are getting hit just everywhere with an increase of 11 cents, but then it's going to be more on top of that.
That's basic economics, folks. We do have a call online. Welcome to the 503 Report. Thanks for joining the conversation. What is on your mind today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and happy vacation when it comes around.
Thank you. You as well, buddy.
Oh, I'll find one someday.
There you go.
Every group has bad apples in it. I didn't read the article. I was told about it. But every group has bad apples. What really eats my apple is when people, that state workers want raises, and then down the line, certain state workers complain about we're in debt to the hilt because the poor need food and children need schoolrooms and stuff. Something's got to give in America. We got to, you know, start acting like the nation that our founding fathers wanted us to be, and that to take care of each other. And one good way is for our federal government, our state government, and our local governments to help the people. Thank you.
All right. You know, well put as far as, you know, some of the advocation we have amongst our members and individuals that we talk to about the importance of, hey, wait a minute, you know, we need to slow the roll, as we say, when it comes to some of the increases that we've received. It's created a massive unfunded liability. And, you know, look, there are people out there. We've advocated on the show since
forever,
day one, that in order for that public sector to receive a benefit, the private sector must be successful. So when it comes down to that, I think that's what the caller's referring to, and there are voices out there amongst the state employee groups who understand that. Now, let's take a look at CalPERS. Speaking of state employees, look, we all know that CalPERS is worth over $300 billion, and CalSTRS, the teachers, is worth, just under $200 billion. Look, Senate Bill 185 now is on the governor's desk, and this one's kind of irking me a little bit. This one's chapping my hide, as we say. It wants to prohibit investment in coal from these funds, and so it wants to eliminate and control CalPERS and CalSTRS' ability to make a profit. And the reason is, I'm going to quote this, California should not be lending financial support to the coal industry during a time when the state tries to expand use of renewable energy. What's wrong with that statement? California should not be lending. Well, first of all, it's not California. It's a pension fund making an investment. When the state tries to expand, wait a minute. Why is the state trying to expand the use of renewable energy? Is that not a problem when the state is putting such a mandate? And then this Assemblyman Rob Bonte, he's a Democrat out of Alameda. What he says is, quote, "This aligns our investment policies with our values." Whose values?
Yeah, thank you.
whose investment policies? This is not the state legislature's investment policies. This is California Public Employee Retirement and the school teacher's retirement decision. Who do they think they are to try to restrict? We have all kinds of unfunded liabilities, and now we want to restrict our ability as a pension fund to be able to make a profit. Who do these guys think they are down there?
That's a good question. We'll answer that question right after this. The 503 Report, heard every Friday right here on 1240 KSUE. And you can check us out after the show, about 20 minutes on the podcast at SierraDailyNews.com.
Lassen Senior Services and Wheels West present Lassen County's first barbecue cook-off, Saturday, October 3rd, 11 a.m., Tractor Supply parking lot. For entry forms or more information, contact Penny Arts at Executive Director at LassenSeniorServices.org or call her 257-2113. Categories are brisket, pork butt, pork ribs, and chicken, judging based on KCBS scoring. Proceeds benefit Lassen Senior Services.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Okay, California and America, something that you might not know that happened on today's date, September 4th, 1933. This is kind of cool. The first airplane to exceed 300 miles an hour. Think about that, man. That was very fast back then. And, of course, 1957, the Ford Motor Company introduces its infamous Edsel. 1972, this one goes out to my girl here, the U.S. swimmer Mark Spitz. He becomes the first athlete to win 7 Olympic gold medals. And, of course, you know, the weather indicates football season. So we have to actually acknowledge an accomplishment by the Cleveland Browns. Ready? 1994, Cleveland Browns is the first team in the NFL to score a 2-point conversion. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, Where America's Voice is Heard, Tim.
And since 1994, Cleveland really hasn't done much of anything else. So we can throw that in there to the listeners out there as well. And you were talking a little earlier about what's going on and the state is doing on there, and it's more of an agenda that they have, the governor has out there. He's starting to wake up a little bit and take a little more of a stance and being a little more public on things, Andrew, I have noticed within the last couple of months, my friend.
Well, you know, I mean, it's going to be interesting because he's kind of all over the place. I mean, one day he's far left, the next day he comes towards the center. Yeah, I mean, you know, the governor is just interesting which way he is actually going now. Now let's move on to a little bit of the national level. Let's talk about the silent majority, this Trump phenomenon. I have to tell you, man, I think it's kind of funny. I'm going to tie this in with your opening okay. statement on the very first segment. And, you know, we're talking about the dishonesty or the lack of honesty or the lack of knowledge of kids today, people not growing up, understanding some stuff. And I think it's kind of funny that the big boys and girls on the big networks, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, they're having trouble trying to figure out, you know, this Trump phenomenon. Well, it's very simple, folks. And I'm going to take a minute here to read something to you from my source, the Oxford Concise Dictionary of Politics. And I'm going to read something to you that may sound a little bit familiar what's happening in America today. What's happening is a movement. Now, this has happened before. It's an amorphous cross-party tendency towards economic and political reform prevalent in the United States at the beginning of this century. In the era of Democrats, Republicans, and nonpartisans alike became alarmed by the developments of American life that had been underway for some time. They will view with concern, ready, the rise of trust, corporations, monopolies in commerce and industry, and the parallel emergence of party bosses and political machines. Most of these guys need a need to purify politics by destroying odious bosses and their machines and returning government to where it properly belongs, in the hands of the people. This philosophy accordingly became enthusiasts for various devices, direct democracy, such as presidential primary, the direct primary, the initiative, and the referendum, as well as the recall for public officials. This movement, this philosophy, they're committed to reform, and they also have a sensely deep conservative value. When the opportunity for self-government in reality comes, this group, were far from being anti-capitalist, they object to, say, trust, monopolies, corporations, but they have no objection to capitalism itself. Now, that is a political definition. That is a defining of movement. Does that not sound familiar, what's happening with this Trump phenomenal? Does this not sound like that middle-class, silent majority, individuals that are anti-party, corporations? Is this movement a bad movement that's going on in America? It very much so. It scares corporations, I would have to say. But the reason individuals are struggling, folks, and the individuals that you are listening to on major news companies are struggling, is because if you like that definition, which I do, I like the conservative approach of anti-party bosses. I like the idea of capitalism in small-town America. Don't you?
Andrew, I couldn't have said it any better. And that was, they probably took that out from a couple of hundred years ago almost. It's crazy. I love what is happening right now in the political machine. You're talking about the bosses and the parties. But we're maybe seeing slowly coming around just a little bit because of the popularity, enormous popularity of Donald Trump and Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina, mm-hmm. who it looks like she is going to be on the next mm-hmm. stage for CNN. She has got on there. And that is great to see that. And they are so smart and they're so intelligent and they have great ideas for our country.
What bothers me is that most people in the media, especially on the Fox News channel, the Libertarian Approach, I'm going to shock you folks because I just read you the true definition of progressivism. Progressives. They're so confused on Fox News right now with their libertarian right type of view that they cannot call it progressivism because most of them don't know. Unfortunately, some of these individuals that we're listening to on mainstream media, all the way from Fox News to CNN to MSNBC, they rely on their history from Cliff Notes or Wikipedia. They don't take the time, to understand basic political philosophy 101. This is political science 101. The phenomena that's happening in this nation, that's why Bernie Sanders is becoming so popular for the Democrats right now. Bernie Sanders is not running. He's not running on a 90% socialist platform. He is running on a fair shake, fair opportunity, fair individual right platform that is true progressivism. Now, the left, they have quietly moved over and tried to identify once again that identity. The communists and the socialists now want to be called themselves progressives because most middle Americans understand that. We just want the fair shake. Most Americans are capitalist, most Americans are conservative, and they just want the fair opportunity. So this anti-corporation movement right now that scares Wall Street. Now, Donald Trump, as we just saw this week, Donald Trump just signed that pledge. And I thought it was a brilliant move. It just made the media go crazy. I don't think anybody really understands. The importance of this is this. Every candidate now has got to sign off that they're going to support Donald Trump should he win that nomination. Brilliant move. I mean, I hear the spin, all the wag the dog about, well, he needed it because of South Carolina, this, that. Well, he needed it because of other things. But look, there's a little bit of truth about Donald Trump that we need to realize also. I mean, we have to be adult about it. Even though he's exciting right now and he's moving the media right now, look, Donald Trump cannot, he can't defend Wall Street. And so if Wall Street came after him, his little $10 billion in worth and $400 million a year is not going to be able to thwart off the massive that's going to come from Wall Street.
Sure.
All those guys that can, the Bill Gates, George Soros, yes. The Warren Buffetts, that can outfund him against probably Joe Biden Oh, did I say that? Joe Biden?
Where did that come
did
from?
Did I bypass Hillary Clinton on that one? So anyways, that's what's happening, I think. And then the confusion is this. You have so many individuals that when they look at this movement, they're scared to call it what it is. This is a true progressive, conservative, pro-capitalism, pro-right to individual opportunity movement called the silent majority, which is, as we said a couple shows back, the white majority middle class middle American vote.
Now, Andrew, when we talk about the progressive movement here in the state of California, it seems to me it's a little bit different than that. It's more on the socialist and communist type of agenda than the true progressive like you just spilled out to everybody. Is that a fair assumption on my part?
It's propaganda. And unfortunately, you know, when you teach your kids through the California school system that this is what this means, and they grow up thinking that that would is what it means. The reality is that's not what it means. Words matter. We talk about that all the time. Words and definitions matter historically, especially in politics. And so whenever we misconstrue the words or we try to use the word in another manner, we have to start correcting that in this nation. You know, to describe gay as being homosexual, we have to start saying no. That's not what gay means. We need to come up with another word rather than try to change the definition of a defined word. And so in America today, right now, that's why, you know, Fox News, I think, are struggling with this dominant, and not just Fox News, but all the professionals, all the historians. Every time you hear a commentator come on, they're having trouble trying to identify this movement because everybody's too scared to call it what it is, a progressive movement, because guess what? That would undermine everything that everybody's been taught bad about progressivism.
And Andrew, here we are once again on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And you have said something, and you've put it out there, and you've explained it to everybody. That, and you have said it. MSNBC, Fox, CNN, NBC, ABC, however you want to say it, none of them have done that. And we are going to find, I would bet you, Andrew, before the presidential election comes next year, that they are going to say almost exactly verbatim those words that you just expounded to.
Well, eventually, maybe a year or so. But, I mean, you know, it's going to be tough for them. They're going to try to figure out how to spin it. But, you know, Donald Trump now has got he realizes that he's winning in the polls. He hit 30%, like we said. Man. Every time he starts to speak, guess what? He goes up 2 points. The Rand Pauls are less than 2 points, like we said. I mean, so ultimately, look, this is what CNN wants, and we talked about it last week. I mean, they want the Rand Pauls. They want the Ted Cruzes. They want the Scott Walkers to be on that stage. They don't want the Carly Fiorinas. They don't want individuals that, you know, speak to middle America, you know, that tap into that true progressive movement that would knock out the socialist communist disguise under progressive movement in this United States.
And you are absolutely correct on that. They do not want those people on there because those are the ones that are resonating with middle America, with the people right now. We are going to see, I think, after this next round, Andrew, we're going to see a lot of those people falling off. You don't hear anything about Governor Jindal anymore, and you don't hear anything about Graham from South Carolina. You don't hear about any of those people anymore because they are too far to the right. They're not middle and progressive enough. The people are hearing and they are liking what they hear from those top three or four candidates.
Yeah, because, I mean, we got to be careful on this word progressive. I mean, we understand that this is a shock. This is not a redefinition of the word. It's bringing the definition back. And, you know, this rationale about, well, you know what, it doesn't mean that today. Well, slang has got to be corrected. And so, you know, we understand a little bit of slang. But in the mainstream, we cannot allow the concept of slang to be utilized in a propagandist manner to be able to change a word in order to promote what it really is, which is a socialist communist agenda. So I'm kind of excited for the most part because I think the communist socialist movement is being exposed right now with Hillary Clinton and the Wall Street movement right now is going to be interesting because Donald Trump, he's got to be cautious now. Like I said, you know, he can't take on the Warren Buffetts. He can't take on the Bill Gates. He can't take on the George Soros financially. But what he can do is work with the American people, and he realizes that. And so it's going to be crucial to go forward at this point in time. And he has leverage, not only Republican Party, but he now has leverage by signing that pledge. All of the Republican candidates, should he happen to win this nomination.
Well, in a quick moment, Andrew, we have seen Wall Street somewhat rebound from a couple of weeks ago when China took the big hit. And of course, we went there and it went back up a little bit, kind of went back down. Are we going to be on that roller coaster? What do you think? I know you are into the stock market. And you know that pretty well. What do you see coming up?
Well, I think things are going to calm down a little bit now. You're going to start to see Donald Trump actually kind of – it's going to be interesting to see how people accept this, but he's going to go more favorable in some different directions. It's going to ease the mind of Wall Street. And so when investors and corporate banks and investment banks and individuals like I just mentioned are calm, then guess what? They put their money back into the market. When the world sees that maybe this candidate is not going to bring down the stock market, then things are going to calm down and the money – will flow back into Wall Street out here, or should we say back there in New York.
And do you think the China thing is behind, Andrew? Because that seemed to be the play the first couple of weeks on that. What do you think about that?
That's just fundamental hogwash. I mean, you know, look,
I have never heard that.
It's just stuff, you know, guys like me, man, we just look at that as opportunity because we know people are going to react to that and, you know, they're going to panic. And then guess what? Guys like me, guess what? We start putting our money back into Wall Street, understanding some of the political stuff that I talked about. And I know, folks, I mean, this sounds kind of like strange to you, but I really am kind of like indicating some stuff about how all this really works.
All right, the 503 Report. What do you got for us from our book today?
Well, you always got to remember, folks, and this is what's happening. This is why I'm really big on this progressive movement that's happening. A true political progressive movement is because the political machine triumphs because it is a united minority acting against a divided majority. And of course, that came from who? Will Durant. And I have to tell you, man, you know, that is exactly what's happening in America. So watch it closely, folks. We got 6 months out, and it's going to be fun.
Absolutely, Andrew.
Okay, now from our favorite book. He will fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with the shouts of joy. And that comes from Job 8:21. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And regardless of Rolling Stone magazine, I want to thank all you men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beat in the state, performing a duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this nation can be safe.
The 503 Report, heard every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSHW, about 20 minutes after the show. Go to CRDailyNews.com and catch the download of this. And don't forget about our website, the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Like to hear the show again? Pretty simple. Weekends, grab a cup of coffee and join us Saturday at 7 before the news and swap shop. And Sunday, you can join us at 7:30 before pre-programmed shows. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. It's Labor Day weekend, folks. Have yourself a great weekend with your family and your friends. We're going to go get our rib on over at the Nugget over there. I can hardly wait over there. I'm not going to come anywhere close to what the price I paid for, but it's the best ribs in the world. Have yourselves a great weekend, everybody.
Let me thank you for your time.